We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So we just found out who's going to be the representative for the Browns' second and third round picks for Friday night. And it's going to be Carl Nassib. Former edge rusher and part-time banker. I will say one of the best things to come out of the Hard Knocks series was Carl Nassib trying to explain basic like savings and basic finance to a room full of football players.
That was great.
That was
pretty simple stuff.
I will say it says Browns legend. Okay. All right.
I mean, I still get emails from the Bills. Legend group.
Then you know
far from that.
Then you know what? Carl Nassib is a Browns legend. Better protect myself here.
Yeah.
Well, it's so funny because Carl was so good in Tampa Bay. I think of him as a Buccaneer. He had like two or three seasons where he was like.
He win a Super Bowl with him?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Because remember, he also went to Oakland. He went to the Raiders for a minute. Let me check here. I'm checking. Pause.
He did not.
He did not. Keith is correct. And yeah, 25 and a half sacks in his career. Not bad. Not bad at all. So Carl Nassib will be announcing the selections in the second and third round for the Browns on Friday night. And obviously, you and I talked earlier. I think everyone is expecting a quieter night from the Cleveland Browns tonight as they don't have a number one pick. I know how the Browns traditionally have, and again, it's not because of this. The Browns always find a way to steal somebody else in town's thunder. Like, how many times were we like mid-sentence of finally getting to a Guardians topic, and it's like 6:05 on a Friday, and it's like, this coach is fired. Like, the amount of times in my career I've been so jazzed up to talk about the Cavs or Guardians and some sort of Browns breaking news that nobody expected just completely put a kibosh on the rest of the show. As a matter of fact, I believe when the Deshaun Watson trade was announced, when it was like came out, I want to say Bull was in the middle of talking about the Guardians. I want to say,
yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, so like, I there's something. Maybe it's my FOMO and just coming out in one way or another. Maybe it's my fear of missing out, and I really want the Browns to be a player tonight. But like, I just think it'd be really funny if like. Cavs, Magic, it's like a three-point game with 6 minutes to go, and Greg Newsom gets traded for a second-rounder. I think that would be a really – or honestly, and this is not going to happen because I don't think this is value, Greg Newsom gets traded for like the 27th pick in the draft. That would – and then every – because here's the thing. If the Browns traded for a first-round pick tonight, I don't know how they'd get one. I'm just – this. I'm now just playing out this scenario. If the Browns – traded for a first rounder. And let's say they did it before the end of the Cavs game. Oh, I think it would be, because again, tonight, a lot of people, I heard the morning boys, talk about the fact that the Browns don't have a first round pick makes it almost easier for you to choose between the Cavs and the Browns, or the Cavs in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
6 minutes ago, it'd be wild if the Browns traded for that. At that point, I think it'd be on purpose. I think it'd be intentional. They're just trying to steal thunder. That's what I would think. So with that, The Athletic put out their NFL projection model. So basically, it's roster pre-draft pre-draft roster rankings. And I thought it was interesting. One, they have the Steelers 22nd in the NFL. Here's the thing. The answer in Pittsburgh is still the same thing. It doesn't matter how good the roster is. Mike Tomlin is a magician. Mike Tomlin's going to scare a bunch of Pittsburgh Steelers into winning 10 games because he's just like that. This is who he is. So, like, yes, I agree. It's a bottom 10 roster in the NFL for the Steelers because you have...
It's not bottom 10.
It's not great. It's an
bottom 10?
It's an okay offensive line. It's a bad secondary. It's good defensive line or good pass rush.
They've got decent receivers. They got a running back I love. And they have a pretty good defense, Nick.
I think they've got a pretty good pass rush. I think that's the only thing that might be a lead on the whole team other than Tomlin.
What about the secondary?
No. Okay. No. They've never. I shouldn't say never, but like Joe Hayden was their best corner for a lot of years, and Joe at that point in his career, towards the end of his career, should not have been anybody's best corner.
Yeah, Joe's been retired for like 2 years.
And the guys they have are still not as good as Joe was when his last season of the NFL.
Well, they just drafted Joey Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Minka's still there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Minka
makes the secondary. I mean, he gets everyone lined up.
Yeah, you got to actually have good corners, though. Porter has a chance. I do think Joey Porter Jr. has a chance. I will say that. I think he was talked about a little bit more last year because his dad was Joey Porter and his dad was a Steelers legend. I don't think he was good as the press clippings, but yeah. I'll give you Minka Fitzpatrick, by the way. But offensively, the whole thing is built on can George Pickens, who is inconsistent and, as far as I can tell, a wackadoo, if George Pickens can make Russell Wilson or Justin Fields look like Steve Young. Najee Harris is nice. Jalen Ward, they've got a bunch of nice players. In my head, I think that dude's going to be a star. Look at
I've
his
always
numbers.
Thought that.
You look at his numbers, though. Pretty pedestrian. They're not what David Njoku was when we were talking about David Njoku wasn't doing well enough as a former first-round pick. So this is not about the Steelers. This is just a little tangent there. But I think it's interesting. The Athletic still has, before the draft, the Browns roster on paper as the third-best roster in the AFC North. And I think that's wild. Because here's the thing, if you wanted to say 1A, 1B, 1C, I'd actually be okay with it. But they've got the Ravens ranked third, they've got the Bengals ranked 10th, and they've got the Browns ranked 14th. On paper, the Bengals roster has more holes on one side of the ball than I think the Browns do on their entire roster. The offensive line is still booty cheeks. The D-line is, I don't think the D-line's going to be what it has been the last couple years. Linebacker, it's okay. And then the corner room is going to be problematic in Cincinnati. Like, I think it's going to be all Joe Burrow to me in Cincinnati if they win this year.
I still feel like, though, when you look at a roster, you probably put, 60 to 70% on the quarterback, no?
Maybe. I mean, with Joe, yes. With Joe, you put 70% on. But
what about Deshaun Watson?
They're kind of the same.
What about Lamar Jackson? Maybe 80% with Lamar Jackson.
You know, I don't know. They had an elite defense last year, and fair amount of those guys have left. Like, Jadavian was their best pass rusher last year. He's in Carolina now. And, numbers-wise, I think Matt Ebuike had more sacks, but, like, It's him now. He's the guy.
He is him?
Yeah, they've been, ironically, the Browns have and Ravens have kind of been doing the same thing defensively, which is they've been piecemealing the defensive production on a lot of one-year deals. And the difference is the Browns brought their guys back. The Ravens have lost. They lost Patrick Queen. They lost Jadeveon Clowney. There's somebody else that they lost off the top of my head that I can't think of. So, like, I guess my greater point is I don't think there are eight teams in the AFC because that overall, there are eight teams ahead of them, including the Jets, the Chiefs, the Bills. I don't think there are I don't think there are seven teams because the Browns have the eighth best roster in the AFC according to these pre-draft rankings. I don't think there are seven teams with better rosters in the AFC. I don't.
I guess we'll have to wait and see. But I still stand by the fact that for the Browns to have a top 10 roster in the league, it's Deshaun to me.
Well, but I think, so here's the thing. They have the opposite problem that every other roster ahead of them has. The only thing that, I mean, with Josh Allen, we can agree, like, this is the worst roster Buffalo has had under Josh Allen in 5 years now?
Probably, and they got rid of one of their best players in Diggs.
Yeah, well, and Tre'Davious White. And I know Tre'Davious has been healthy, but when Tre'Davious is healthy, he's a shutdown corner. He is an elite-level corner, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Didn't they get rid of, one of their safeties too, right?
Both their safeties. Poyer and Hyde.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the only reason you can sell me Buffalo has a better roster is Josh Allen. And here's the thing. I might feel different about this. Like, I actually think I'd probably be all on board with this as a fair ranking if the Browns didn't just win 11 games with a backup quarterback. And actually, that's not fair because Deshaun was on the field for 5 games this year, so he was part of those 11 wins. But the whole point is you're not supposed to win games unless you have a franchise quarterback. You're not supposed to be a consistent playoff team. In a season with 5 starting quarterbacks, they won 11 games, and if they didn't have the NFL's dumbass seeding, they would have been the 3 seed in the AFC. So that's just with quarterbacks. Like, that's before you factor in. Oh, by the way, I actually think they got better at backup quarterback, although I know that's heresy because we all love Joe Flacco.
Flacco's great. They got a better quarterback, though.
216-474-0092. The Athletic's pre-draft roster rankings has the Browns as 14. They say 7 teams in the AFC have better rosters on paper, including the Jets. Just want that one to sink in there. And the Bills. Just want that one to sink in there as well. Is 14 too high, too low, or just right for the Browns?
Where is this being held tonight?
Detroit.
I know the city, Nick, but the venue.
In Detroit.
Just downtown. They built like a stage, sort of like... Like what here, we did.
It's outdoors.
Yeah,
it's a weather today. I mean, it's not bad here with the sun, but like it's going to be chilly, isn't it?
Should we call Baskin?
Let's call Baskin.
Andy, if you're listening, buddy, 216-474-0092, and we'll get you the weather in Detroit.
It's 52 right now in Detroit.
Oh, so it's like 54 here.
No?
Huh, we win. Forget you, Detroit. But
we should have had it in the dome.
I actually think that stadium's awesome.
It's a cool stadium. I've been there, by the way, a million times mm-hmm. with the Browns and also with like Mac Media Day and stuff. And I've also called a couple of bowl games there. It is a cool stadium. The problem is they have one entrance to the field.
Oh, that's
terrible. No. If you're on the field level, you can't. This doesn't affect the fans at all. But like from a working standpoint, it's terrible to get in and out of there.
So you know my reference point for a dome stadium, if they're going to build one, just duplicate Lucas Oil Stadium with better Wi-Fi. But like Lucas Oil Stadium, to me, the aesthetic outside is perfect with like that brick mixture to what they have. But inside, well, it's so tough because I've been inside the new Falcons Stadium, and that's just a different. That's not even like a stadium. That's a palace. It's a football palace,
pretty much. Yeah.
That is about full about 50% of the time. So we're going to get Albert Breer on, but as it is round one of the NFL draft tonight, you ready to get the rumors starting there, buddy boy?
Let's get him going.
Diana Rossini saying the Rams who haven't picked in the top 10, or sorry, the Rams who haven't picked in the first round since 2016 are calling to get into the top 10 per sources, and they are pursuing this trade with a specific player in mind, and it's not a quarterback. Some people thought maybe the Rams would, because the Rams picked 19th, some people thought maybe the Rams would be going up for a quarterback. That is not the case, according to Diana Rossini. And so, to talk about night one of the NFL draft, the Browns' plans, and more, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on the man, the myth, the legend of the MMQB, Albert Breer. He joins us every single Thursday. Happy night one of the NFL draft, Albert.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Oh, we're good, doing well. We equally have FOMO because the Browns don't have a first-round pick, but we're also still somehow very excited about tonight and the implications for the Browns and other teams.
Well, you should be. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. I think it's, you know, like a lot of times in a lot of years, I've said like people get excited. I'm like, this is kind of a crappy draft. This can be construed as a crappy draft because it really does fall off after round four. But fans don't care about that. Fans care about the top of the draft, and the top of the draft is really strong this year. And especially at those like all important offensive positions, at quarterback, at left tackle, at receiver. So it should be a fun first half of the first round at the very least. And then I think you get into where it's going to be a bunch of offensive linemen coming off, and a lot of the movement is going to be for offensive linemen.
Albert, given how long you've been covering the NFL draft, and now I just made you sound old with one damn line. I didn't mean that. Is there a favorite draft story or a night one of the draft thing that you remember and you think about every year as we get ready for the next draft?
Yeah, I was in Minnesota in 2014, that was the Johnny year. And I remember, like... I believe they had two first round picks that year, just with the Browns, right? So the Browns took Justin Gilbert, and then the Vikings took Anthony Barr with the first of their first round picks. And then I remember being there, and Mike Zimmer was the coach, and Rick Spielman was the GM. Zimmer was new, I believe, if my year's right. And I just remember like them feverishly working to get up to get Johnny. And I don't know if many people know this, but they were like trying their best to get Johnny. And sometimes the best deals are the ones you never make. Right. So they wind up with Teddy Bridgewater instead, who, you know, I think did a nice job, was the right pick for them where they got him. But you know, you sort of remember some of those quarterback things and the different places that you've been to cover the draft.
Albert, where's Marvin Harrison Jr. going tonight?
I think he's going to be a Cardinal. The Cardinals have told teams they're not trading the pick until they're on the clock. I think there are three or four teams involved with that. I mean, ultimately, I just think, you know, especially if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3 and those teams don't move. I don't know that J.J. McCarthy is seen in the light where he's going to cause somebody to just break the bank to go and get him. Not saying he's not a good prospect, but like, is this the type of guy that you're going to give up like 2, 3 first round picks to go and get? I don't think so. And so, you know, my guess would be Monty Austin Fort winds up standing pat and taking Marvin Harrison fourth overall, which for them is great. Cause you know, now you look at where they're at, they've got a quarterback, left tackle, and receiver taken care of with three really young players that should be exciting and there for a long time to come.
Albert, the Browns, as you know, do not have a first round pick this year. And yet there's the Greg Newsom whispers that have been out there. We've talked about Jed Wills. Even though the Browns don't have a first round pick, should we expect it to be a quiet night for Cleveland?
Yeah, I don't think anything is going to happen with them. I actually think like if you're Cleveland, you're probably trying to accumulate some more things, accumulate some more picks. And if like someone like Newsom was moved, my guess would be it would be tomorrow. With a team that maybe thought coming in, like we're going to go get a corner, and then it just doesn't play out that way for them. There is some depth to the corner position, but there are, I'd say, a small number of guys that are kind of at that like top level. Quinion Mitchell and, from Toledo and Terrion Arnold from Alabama are probably the top two. Cooper DeJean, depending on how you see him. I don't want to offend Dustin here and project him to safety. I know that that's kind of a third rail topic for Dustin, right?
It is, yes.
but people are projecting him to safety. Sorry, Dustin. and then Kool-Aid McKinstry. So, I think there could be a team or two that comes out of, you know, day one where they're looking at it and saying, well, we wish we had gotten this guy, but he went a little ahead of us. And so let's reevaluate. And that's where I think the potential for a team coming with something strong for Greg Newsom to come.
So with that, the Browns obviously haven't had a first round pick in 3 years. The Rams have not had one since 2016. And there's actually a couple of reports out there that could be looking to trade up from pick 19 into the top 10. And you know, these teams have kind of been mentioned with each other when people talk about not having a first rounder as evidence of success without first rounders. I'm curious, does that, can we infer then that the value of first rounders is down these days overall?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah, I would say that's fair. I mean, I think that teams have gotten more aggressive as analytics have kind of become more prevalent. And I think the reason why, guys, is because there's always been like a little bit of like a conservatism with it when it comes to having draft picks, right? Like, you always want to have a full draft class and you want to have as many shots as you can to get young players under cost control under your roster. I think, you know, the thing that analytics has probably done is helped teams more properly value picks, right? Like, so you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, like, what's this pick actually worth? Instead of just saying our first round pick is untouchable, you maybe have like a real method for valuing it, right? Like, so you say, okay, this first round pick is worth X veteran or Y veteran or Z veteran. And if you're able to do that, then that allows you to be a little bit more aggressive, because you do have a little bit more of a real look at what that pick is valued at. So, you know, that's why I think a team like Cleveland's, and, you know, it has been in position to make moves, and you see so many moves they've made for veteran players over the last few years, you know, with draft picks, is they're really good at valuing them, you know? So I think that that's sort of a product of where the game's gone. And yeah, I think, you know, it was a lot harder to get, I'd say, a first round pick or multiple first round picks for a player 15 years ago, or 20 years ago when I started covering the league, than it is now, no doubt.
Robert, I'm just looking through some projections for some of the Buckeyes coming out in this draft. Obviously, yep. We know about Marvin Harrison. I already asked you about him. It seems like what Mike Hall may be the next player off the board, defensive tackle.
Yep.
You've got Eichenberg. You've got Kate Stover. There's a bunch more. But specifically for the Browns. We love Ohio State here. It's Northeast Ohio, that whole thing. Is there a player to keep an eye on maybe for Cleveland from Ohio State?
I mean, so Michael Hall is interesting just because I think he brings something that Cleveland's been looking for, a disruptive athletic defensive tackle, right? Now, the question with him is going to be the red flags and the personality, and are you okay with it, right? And that's something that I think different. Like, there are teams that have him off the board. So, you know, I think that's something you're going to have to kind of wrap your head around. And I would say he'd be one where if you didn't meet with him, you're not taking him, you know, like, you probably had to meet with him and get comfortable with him. And, you know, I think kind of like wrap your arms around the idea of taking him and have a plan for him. But like, you know, I think the upshot of it, you could have a first round talent, right? Like, so, he'd be the one that I sort of look at and say, yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I mean, we know the Browns, how they've handled linebacker position the last few years. So I don't know that Tommy or Steel Chambers would be a huge consideration, although I think both those guys would be available on day 3. Yeah, and Cade Stover's interesting just because he's so young at the position. You know what I mean? He just he legitimately just started playing the position, you know? So do you see some upside there? I could see the Browns having an interest in that too.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline as we get you guys ready for night one of the NFL draft, round one tonight, live from Detroit. What's kind of the feeling so far on Detroit leading into this and how things are going as they prepare to host their first draft?
Yeah, you know, it's great because, like, I don't know how many people know this. Maybe I shouldn't say it on the radio in Ohio, but I've got a ton of roots in Detroit. my entire dad's side of my family's from there. And I can just remember, I tweeted this earlier, but I remember when I was a little kid, like, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you did not go into the city in Detroit. Like, I remember going to, like, a Red Wings game here and there. But when I visit my cousins out there, like, you were just out in the suburbs, you know? And, you know, I think over the years, they've cleaned it up. It's gotten safer. And so I think tonight's, like, a great night for Detroit to showcase all the progress it's made and to, you know, knock down some of the preconceived notions. And, you know, I know it's great talking to my dad about it because, like, when he was a kid, Detroit was a very vibrant place and everything else. And, you know, for obvious reasons, you know, associated with the auto industry and everything else, the city really hit hard times. So, I sure hope that tonight's a great night for Detroit to showcase all the progress that it's made over the years.
Albert, is there a consensus player in this draft that people around the NFL would bet money on being a great player?
Would it excite you if I gave you guys a center?
Yes, for me, I'm a fat person, of course.
Okay, so like I actually did this exercise the last couple of days. So Trent McDuffie was that guy 2 years ago, right? And I remember hearing like everyone loved him, killed all of his meetings. I had some people tell me like their meetings with him were like some of the best meetings they'd had ever as scouts and coaches, right? And so like Trent McDuffie was like kind of like seen as this like just middle of the fairway, you're getting a good player. And 2 years later, he's all pro, right? Graham Barton for Duke is that player this year. I asked around a bunch. His name kept coming up. You know, it's a center. So like, how do you value it? It's not a corner, it's a center, you know? So like, it's not the same premium spot, but like, I think as far as like, if you ask one of these teams, like, okay, who do you think is going to be all pro in 5 years? I think you probably get Graham Barton's name a lot.
Albert, looking within the division here, the Pittsburgh Steelers declined to pick up the fifth-year option on Justin Fields. Why didn't they do that move?
Because it's too expensive. You're not paying $25 million fully guaranteed for a guy who isn't your starting quarterback right now, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be a starting quarterback the year after. It's that simple. It's too much money, you know? Do I think they're interested in keeping him around for more than just this year? Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, especially like given, you know, where they are and what their depth chart looks like, you know, I think playing this out was always the way that they were going to go. And it's interesting too, because, you know, Russell Wilson's in the same situation, both those guys, you know. So, you know, how do you, if you're Pittsburgh going forward, you get the franchise tag to handle either of those guys if one or the other plays really great this year. But I wasn't surprised. It's just way too much money to pay for a guy who, you know, as of right now is your backup.
Albert, I almost screwed your name there. I don't know why I can't speak. The Bengals seem to be in a little bit of turmoil right now, at least it seems. Will either Hendricks or Higgins get traded?
I don't think so. I think Hendricks is going to get, I think they're going to work something out. I would say with Hendricks.
Hendrickson, I can't say anybody's name right today.
like Higgins, I would have said maybe. I just think like what happened with Amon-Ra St. Brown complicates things for both Higgins and Ayuk now. The reason why is like he gets $28 million a year. If you're Higgins or Ayuk, and St. Brown's a fantastic player, had unbelievable numbers last year. But like, he's not like dynamic like Ayuk is. He's not massive the way that Higgins is. So either of those guys can go in there and say, yeah, like, you know, if he's worth 28, I'm worth over 30. So now if you're looking to trade him, you're not just asking that other team to give up a premium pick. You're asking that team to pay the guy $30 million a year. and that's a lot, you know. So I think it, I think because of the St. Brown deal of earlier this week, it just got harder for the Niners to move Ayuk and for the Bengals to move Higgins.
Albert, great stuff as always, buddy. Enjoy the NFL draft. Yeah. And I'm correct in saying you are in the Motor City, yes, sir?
I'm not. No. I'm doing TV back home, but I'll be locked in. I mean, I've been locked into this thing since I was 5 years old. I was a big draft guy when I was a kid. I actually sort of miss it being on Saturday. I don't know if you guys are that way too. But I used to love sitting around all day on Saturday and watching it. But yeah, can't wait for tonight. Should be exciting.
There were days, and it was up until I met my wife and she said, that's not okay, where I watched literally every pick in the NFL draft until the draft was done. And I miss those days some days. I'll still take having a wife, though.
The all day Saturday thing was great, though. I do miss that.
Albert, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Quiet night anticipated for the Cleveland Browns. The entire time we've talked about the Browns, it really does feel like business begins for them when the first round ends. Meaning that depending on where the run on cornerbacks happens, every year it's, all right, we've got a run on quarterbacks over. Now it's this position and then it's this position. Back into the first round, is it anticipated to be more of a offensive lineman run into the beginning of the second round? But I think that is where the tension is, and I think it's interesting that not only could you see them trade for a second-round pick if the right deal comes up, but that even if they get that pick, you could see them trade down for more picks. And, like, I will say, like, you look at the Rams last year, and the Rams are kind of used as the as the team that hasn't had a first rounder since 2016. So, Well, hey, if the Rams can do it, you can do it. We'll get into that later in the show. But, like, you look at the Rams last year, they had an all-time draft. Like, they found a starting offensive. Their first pick was 36. They had something like 13 picks, more than half of which, 60% of their picks were fifth round and on last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they found starting center, starting edge rusher, starting defensive lineman. Puka Nacua in the fifth round. Who's the other kid? There was a defensive back they had last year. Oh, gosh, I'm forgetting his name. He might have been an undrafted guy. But they found like four day one contributors because they had like 13 picks. So I don't know if the Browns are going to go from six picks to 13 picks. But if the point is to accrue more picks, if you have a Greg Newsome deal, that goes a long way.
Yep.
And then if you can make one or two trade downs happen, you could easily pick up three, four extra picks. And, man, I'll tell you, like, I'm comfortable with Andrew Berry drafting from the third round on. I am. I'd love to get that early second round pick, by the way, and just take a guy who we all love that maybe fell, right? But, like, I give Andrew Berry 10 picks and let him cook, because I think – I don't know you need a lot of guys this year, but man, you need some more scratch offs going into next year and beyond as you're trying to build this roster to a more sustainable thing.
Listen, the roster right now, you think it's pretty good, right?
Yeah. I think the today roster is great. I actually think it should be considered one of the top 10 rosters in the NFL. I think the Athletic got it completely wrong having them as the 14th best roster in the NFL and the eighth best in the AFC.
How good does the roster have to be around Deshaun Watson for them to compete for a championship? Is it good enough now?
I think it's very good enough now. Yeah. I think if you promised me Deshaun was going to be one of the 10 best quarterbacks this next year and he would be healthy, I would say the Browns are going to be a very serious playoff contender, and I would expect something around a trip to the AFC title game, if not something beyond. Like because last year they quarterback-proofed the roster. You know how hard it is. You know how hard it is in the NFL to quarterback-proof a roster, and I think they've done it again. Like they were besieged by injuries, and to some of their best players, it wasn't they Nick Chubb-proofed this roster. The guy played five quarters last year. He was their heart and soul of their offense for 6 years. Oh, and then Deshaun went down, and he was in and out of the lineup. And oh, then after the biggest win in Deshaun's Browns career, they went out and then beat the Steelers. And then, oh, by the way, they turned it around in December to finish off a playoff run. Like, yeah, man, like I think there's a lot of reasons to look at this and say do you have a roster ready now? The draft to me is about setting it up for the future as well. And starting like next year. I know I said that, but I wanted to get back to that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can certainly set themselves up really well here with some of these later round picks and hopefully develop. You got time to develop some guys, right?
Yeah. Well, and hey, if some guy comes up and takes a veteran's job, that's huge. Because they're going to have to take it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Jim Schwartz isn't going to give somebody a job. I don't imagine Bubba Ventrone is going to give somebody a job. And I like that. That means you have a highly competitive roster. Also, this coming out of the draft. So Marvin Harrison Jr.'s outfit for the draft has come out. And he's got a chain. And the pendant is diamond encrusted, I think is what we would call it. But it has it's got Simba and Mufasa on one side, and on the other side, it's him and his dad.
Aww.
I so badly want to make fun of this.
Can't.
It's like, I love that he's representing him and his dad, because it is like, I think Marvin is such a great football player, and I think he got totally held back by his quarterback this year. I don't think we've seen the best out of
Marvin.
Looked
pretty good in the spring game.
Oh, yeah, Kyle McCord. You mean when he threw into double coverage?
What, in the spring game?
The one that Syracuse posted on their social media handles. Did you see that?
I just saw the other quarterbacks down south not playing as well.
Oh, I'm not taking the bait right now. You're not going to slippery wizard me on this
one.
Don't
act like you don't have questions.
Everybody's got questions. However, the point is, Simba and Mufasa, has Marvin Harrison Jr. seen what happens to Mufasa in that flick? Because his dad's still alive, and Simba didn't get that life, okay?
That's certainly fair.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.